Yo, what's up, gamers? It's White Boy Summer with the noise.
Boys.
I don't think White Boy Summer is a racist thing. I think it's a weird permutation of Hot Girl Summer from like 2 years ago. If it is a racist thing, I apologize. But if it's not, then woo, White Boy Summer. What are your plans for White Boy Summer, Alex?
Working.
Woo! You get to work in the hot, hot sun. I get to sit in air conditioning. Woo! If the people at home, please imagine I'm doing that thing that the stick figure did where he did the woo yeah, oh yeah, woo yeah. I'm doing that right now on my computer chair. Woo yeah, yeah, woo yeah time. White just, boy summer.
Just vibrating fucking really quickly.
I did drink a cherry vanilla Bang energy drink, and I do feel like if I woo yeah too hard, I will vibrate through my computer chair. But to start off my white boy summer, I immediately spent, I want to say it was 32 hours editing Revival of Dungeons & Dragons Real Play podcast. We recorded the last episode that we have recorded was like June of 2020. So almost exactly a year ago. And editing those things are a fucking nightmare, Alex.
Yeah, because you have like four things of audio, right?
Yeah, I have five tracks of audio, and there's almost always something fucking wrong with them. I'm almost done with it. I have I have 6 hours of audio left, which is 30 hours of audio, which every hour of that takes me 3 hours to edit. So I only have to work for at least 30 more hours on it, Alex. Isn't that cool? Isn't that awesome?
Now, I had a question about Revival, actually. Now, obviously, I follow it very intensely, of course. I noticed
you're
that,
Alex, what do you refer to yourselves in your community as?
24.
Oh shit, actually that's not far. That is not far from eagle-eyed listeners, so you get a pass on this one, Alex.
So what I was gonna say is I noticed that your newest episode came out, and it was titled The Finale. Now obviously I listened to it, so I had a question. Are you ending Revival soon?
Yes, season one of Revival is going to be ending very, very soon. For those Revival heads, or Revivies, as they call themselves, there was like a whole thing that we've been building up to for 4 years. And it was like a whole huge fucking nightmare pain in the ass to do, and I'll never do it again. It was the dumbest decision I could ever have made. It's good. It's good content. I'm making a recap episode by going through the YouTube transcriptions. Person from the Discord, Old Man Higgins, he went on there and he got the transcripts for me. And reading those is like reading a Alzheimer patient's diary. Because you know how YouTube has the auto-generated transcriptions, right?
Yes.
Those just, they do their best guess at what you're trying to say. And when you have five people in one video, it is nonsense. It hurts my brain trying to read it. You know that comic where it's Garfield of in hot eat the food? That's literally what it reads like.
I have a question about that. Is that a real comic or is that just a shitpost?
I assume it's probably someone edited a comic or it got printed wrong once. I don't imagine Garfield in its 10 years of daily comic strips has ever made a mistake, so it's got to be that. Other White Boy Summer things. Joe and I are going to be doing a special. It's going to be in the late 90s, early 2000s. There was a show on MTV. It was called Loveline, and it was a comedian and a doctor. I think it was like a psychologist. And people would call in with their relationship questions, and they would give them answers. And me and Joe thought it would be really, really funny, so there is a voicemail that I opened up. The number is 413-6545-206. And that'll be in the description. I opened that up. I'm going to put out a little promo video where we give more specifics on it. But we are taking people's voicemails for romantic advice, conundrums that they are in. And we're going to take voicemails and then we're going to do live call-ins and all that cool stuff. I posted it early in the Discord a few days ago and immediately got two voicemails.
Hey, nice.
The first one was about my car's extended warranty. And the other one was a really funny dude who just shouted the N-word. And, oh, dude, that's so fucking funny. My knees, Alex, shattered from slapping him from his really fucking funny joke. Maybe I should get him on the show. He's so cool. Also, Alex, did you just hear that in the background? That was a truck. Alex, the trucks are back. Nature is healing. We are the virus.
Fuck off.
Other thing I'm doing. Shirts are going to come out for White Boy Summer. Keep an eye out for those. I have 3, maybe 4, really funny shirts. You can see me wearing the Hattacall shirt in the defense arguments for the Man with No Brain trial of Joseph Robert Buckley. You should go watch those. They're very good. Anyway, the other thing, I'm going to keep hogging this. I'm going to steal the first 15 minutes of this episode.
That's fine.
Because Alex has a lot to say. First off, my birthday is June 17th. You can send me free Steam games. Just do that. I won't play them. My friend bought me Guilty Gear Strive, and I played it for 10 minutes, and then Joe came over. We played Binding of Isaac. He DM'd me like, hey, bud, why aren't you playing that $60 game I just bought? So be aware of that. But the other thing I've been doing is I've been going apartment hunting. And I have some interesting stories from that. Well, Alex, what did you want? Should I front load everything for these peons that are listening?
I can talk for about an hour straight, so it's probably in your best interest that you continue going in this current train of thought.
All right, good, because I am bottled up podcast-wise. I was supposed to, as soon as I got done with my school shit, I was supposed to just wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, just crank a bunch of podcasts out. But then I wasn't able to because of a bunch of other stuff that was going on. So I'm ready. I'm vibrating through the chair right now, Alex. So I went apartment hunting, and I was looking at a bunch of different places. And one of them, I live like 40 minutes away from work. So every morning I have to wake up really early, drive there, drive back. So I was looking at apartments in that town. And one of them, I went to check into it. It was a one bedroom. It was a studio, which I realize now just how fucking small a studio apartment is. Holy shit. Tiny. We go in there. I meet the landlord. We go into like the hallway, and it's like a townhouse, right? So it was mm-hmm. something that a family used to live in, and then they split it up into fucking like 8 apartments. And we go into the hallway, and it just fucking smells like shit. We're looking all over. I'm like, what in the hell is that smell? And as we keep going, we go up the stairs, and it's hot as fuck because there's no AC on. And I'm like, oh, I bet there's like something in the attic. Something in the attic fucking died, right?
Mm-hmm.
We go into the apartment, and it smells even worse. We're like, what in the fuck is this? We like check everything. I opened the back of the toilet to see if someone double-deckered it. But nothing. And then we hear a noise. It's a fucking quack. So the downstairs neighbors right below that apartment had 2 full-size grown ducks as pets, indoor ducks in their studio apartment.
Ducks? What, there's shit everywhere?
Yeah. Have you ever seen a duck not shitting? Ducks are fucking awful animals. You've seen that video where like a duck tries to eat like a bowl of peas and he's just fucking... like a cartoon character eating corn on the cob. My list of grievances here. Number 1, wow, this smells like shit. Number 2, wow, this is tiny as fuck. Number 3, how many other people must have been complaining to him that this smells like shit? Because it permeated into the hallway and upstairs, which means maybe there's a fucking duck in the vent. The same guy messaged me like later. I told him like, oh yeah, you know, I'll think about that apartment. Yeah, I'll definitely think about it. He gave me a rental application. I just fucking folded it up and put it in my glove box. Uh-huh. I was like, I'm not gonna write that down. Get the fuck out of here. And there's another place he tried to show me, but he wouldn't give me the address for it. He just kept sending me pictures, and I'm like, this is fucking weird.
Here's my imagination. That guy's got ducks, right? The next family is just like, the next house is in between 2 goddamn like crack houses, and also they own ducks.
It's ducks all the way down. It's positively quackers. The other place I looked at, I didn't even follow up with him on that second one. I'm like, if you're not giving me the address, that is absolutely number one, a crack house, or number two, there's three ducks. So this other place I looked at was someone else. I go there and it's like, here's the Tad Becker three. For those of you listening who don't live with your parents, which I know is an incredibly small amount of listeners, you want to, number one, look at the yard. Is the yard full of shit? Number two, do they have those gross-ass Venetian blinds? You know what those are, Alex?
I think I do.
If you ever see, like, a shitty house in town, they're always broken. They always look like, it's like fucking jagged, broken teeth. It makes your house look British. If it has those, that's a strike. If it has, and this one's a little bit subjective, but I don't give a fuck. Look at the cars that are parked there. Are they really shitty? Is someone rocking a 98 Protege? That's strike number three. Those are the three you gotta look for before you even get in the apartment and smell the ducks. So I look at this nice place and I'm like, oh, wow, this is mostly older folks. Okay, that's fine. They allow pets. Okay, that's good. All the cars in there, there's some older like vans because the vans, they have like the, like, I don't know what they're called, like a lift for like wheelchairs and stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you know what? That one's within my tolerance range. That one's like 2003, 2004. That's okay. I will let it slide this time. And Tad Becker tip, if you're in a place and you're looking at it and it has carpet, go into the corners when they're not looking and just kind of poke at it with your shoe and see if you can pull it up. Just for fun. And also to see if there's any bugs in there. Look in corners, open things, see if there's water damage underneath in the cabinets and stuff. This is becoming like a home ownership segment.
I mean, it's good advice.
I'll be 27 on the 17th. And on my way to work every morning, there's a what now?
You've been telling me your birthday is the 16th for the past 20 years.
That is a lie, Alex. I've never said fucking fake news.
Bullshit. I can't believe
I remember your birthday. It is July 28th.
It's the 26th.
You've been telling me the 28th for the past 10 years.
I will fucking slap you so fucking hard, dude.
Anyway. So we're checking it out. It's nice. No bugs. Looked in the corners. In the morning, I listened to, I'm going to become an old man instantly when I hit 27. Cause I listen to like old men on the radio and they have like a call in show, but they don't give romantic advice. They just tell you how to paint the deck. So we check it out. We go to look at another one on the site. We go in there and it's like, it's basically the exact same apartment. And I'm like, oh, what is that smell? And we're like, oh damn. Now, you might be thinking, Tad walked into another duck situation, but not so much. We go in there and I'm like, oh, I think the refrigerator might be leaking underneath the floorboards or something. And this lady was like, yeah, this is an apartment that we're going to rent out right now anyway, because we have to clean it and do all this. We're looking at everything. I go into the bathroom and I like turn the corner and I see a giant gaping hole in the ceiling. And I look down and there's a bathtub full of like gray blue water. At some point, probably during the winter, someone that no one ever came in, and I live in the Midwest, so when it gets winter, it gets fucking cold. So what happened probably is that someone that was in that apartment, when it gets really, 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 really fucking cold, you're supposed to turn on your faucet to have some running water so that it doesn't fully freeze, because freezing water, it's harder to freeze than standing water. Someone probably didn't do that. And the pipe exploded. No one knew about it. And it just ripped a fucking hole in the ceiling. Ugh. So I didn't take that apartment. Just FYI. I didn't take the ducks. I didn't take the duck pond apartment. What I did, though, is I did find a nice place. That's really cool. It's not next to a fucking highway like my current place. So there probably will be less vehicles. But when I went to pay for that apartment, I thought I had to pay in cash, but I didn't. So this is a shout out to anyone listening right now. If you want to mug me, now's the fucking time. Because not only do I have like $1,500 in my wallet, I've got my nice keys to my car. You could just steal it. And I have fetch lands from when I went to play Magic with Joe. They're in my lunchbox in my car. So if you want a Verdant Catacombs and a Scalding Tarn and $1,500, just find me on the street and just fucking punch me in the dick and you could just take it. Like, I won't be able to fight back after that point. So that's all I got to say. That's my white boy summer so far, Alex.
Well, while you were having fun doing white boy summer, I was working, dying, and white playing summer, video woo! Games. So. I actually had a follow-up from previous Noise Boys we did, months upon months upon months ago. I mentioned before how I'm a guy who says games don't actually age that much, you know? And yeah. My friend Ryan played through Final Fantasy VII, and he really liked it, yada, yada, yada. This was in, like, our previous episode. So the follow-up is that I went and played it myself, because I never played Final Fantasy VII. I never actually beat a Final Fantasy up until that point anyway. And I beat the damn game. I had 51 hours in it, right? And before anyone asks, yes, I did. I did beat the two weapons. Yes, I did just get told how to RNG manipulate. I did not do the chocobo racing. Fuck you. I really liked it, actually. I was surprised by how well that game actually holds up. I thought it was going to be like, you know, just had a lot of old things in it. First things first is when you actually fight, it has an ATB system. I actually did not know Final Fantasy VII even had an ATB system.
That's I was literally just about to ask what it was. Go ahead.
Oh, no, sure. It's good that you asked. It's, you've played Chrono Trigger or something. It's where it's a meter that fills up for you to take your turn rather than a traditional, like, you take your turn, then they take their turn kind of thing. It's more...
Now, the ATB, is it, like, based on, like, a character stat, and then they get to take... Is it, like, their speed stat fills up faster, and you can take more turns?
Yeah, so there's an in-game setting to change the speed from slow to fast, just in case, like... Because trying to go, like, on fast when you have a speed buff, because there are also speed buffs, is actually pretty damn fast. But, yeah, but there's an in-game setting, plus character stats, plus the ability haste, that you can speed up your turns and shit. So, yeah, it could go pretty quick once you have the buffs.
I think Final Fantasy 13 had an ATB system, and I remember turning it off because I'm like, I can't navigate these fucking menus fast enough. And I was getting, like, people were doing multiple turns on me while I was still trying to figure out which fucking magic spell I should use.
I had a similar situation with the Desolate Hope the very first fucking fight I did, because I was like, all right, what is this ability? Oh, shit, they're still attacking me. Oh, fuck. But, I don't want to go through the entire game because everyone's talked about it, but I didn't know anything about the story except for the whole Aerith dying thing. That story's actually pretty damn good. I was very impressed. I don't want to go
Give
off
me
about
a
it
quick
for,
rundown.
So the quickest Give me, rundown yeah. is that it's not just like trying to like stop like bad guys and save the world or whatever. That is obviously a big thing of it, but it's like the story is more focused on the actual characterization of Cloud himself and his weird, like, how do I say this? He has this weird delusional, like, based sense of, like, being. He doesn't know who he really is, and he suffers from, like, a lot of these really weird confidence issues, and he's basically just been living, like, this weird mask, and it's about him overcoming his own self. It's actually pretty interesting. I like that a lot.
Was it 8? Was Final Fantasy 8 the one where they were all orphans? Or is that also 7?
People in 7 have families, so it's probably 8.
Where's Cloud's parents? Where are they in this?
Well, that's a complicated question. So he does have a mom.
Where's his grandparents?
So he has a mom that he lives with in a town called Nibelheim. But Cloud's entire past, I could just talk about because it's actually very cool. I actually liked it a lot. So. Okay. So
I will allow it.
And I don't want to go into the whole story. It's pretty decent. But I'll talk about Cloud because I actually really like Cloud's character. And I get why he's popular now. So Cloud's from this little town, like off on one of the little continents called Nibelheim. Just this nice little rundown, you know, like country town. And he grew up as kind of not an unpopular kid, but also not like a popular one. He was a very just kind of like there guy. No one really paid attention to him, right? They didn't
bully
him.
Was he one of those
him.
Kids... that would have friends just to come over and play Super Smash Bros. Melee?
Kind of. He's the kind of kid that, like, he wasn't bullied, but he wasn't liked. He was, like, he was an NPC. Nobody, like, paid attention to him. And he didn't like that. He wanted to be more than that. So he would talk big shit about how he was going to run off, because he would read the newspapers about this guy called Sephiroth, who's this great war hero in Midgar. And he's like, okay. If I was cool and strong like Sephiroth, people would respect me more. And so he talks all this big shit to his little friend Tifa and everything that he's going to run off and join Soldier. Soldier's a branch of Shinra that is for, like, super soldiers, right? That's where they genetically just inject you with a bunch of like fucking energy and make you really fucking strong.
They make you into a captain. It's their Captain America program.
Basically, they make you into a JRPG protagonist. So Cloud's like, you'll see, I'll be stronger than everyone will fucking love me. So he runs off to Midgar to go join Shinra, and he takes the test.
Sounds like he's literally just like, dude, can you just like calm down? Like, you are really being annoying right now. We're trying to enjoy our time here at Wendy's.
Yeah,
and he's just making a big fucking... It's not as bad as Michael Yagubi, where they all hated me. Hey, Goobster. What's up, Goob? You want to hang out at my house? So I assume that's Tifa. Like, hey, do you want to go play, I don't know, Final Fantasy? You want to race Chocobos?
So
they all hated me.
So what happens is he joins Soldier, then eventually leaves Shinra, then joins up, becomes a mercenary, joins Avalanche, which is the terrorist group that Barrett leads, and they go against Shinra. Because Shinra is really bad, and they're like destroying the planet. So that's the story, and he's going on. Cloud just kind of grew up to be kind of like a dork. He's all like, "All right, team, let's do this. Let's mosey." And everyone's like, "God, Cloud, you're so fucking lame."
I can see why he's a popular JRPG character. It's very immersive to be called lame.
Here's the thing: that's all a fucking lie. You learn later on from Sephiroth, because Sephiroth like follows you and like haunts you like the whole fucking game. When you have a flashback sequence where you, Tifa, and Sephiroth go up to one of the Mako reactors, have a big like fucking freak out. Sephiroth snaps, turns evil, kills everybody. Then you fight Sephiroth and save Tifa. That never happened at all.
Oh, okay.
See, you took a picture before you went off on your little big adventure, because you're like teenagers during this. This is when you were still in Soldier, and you and Sephiroth are friends. Tifa takes a picture of it, and then Sephiroth shows you the picture. He's like, Cloud, do you remember being there? He's like, of course. And what's this? And it's like a completely different person in the picture. It's a guy with like black hair. And Cloud like starts freaking the fuck out. Cloud's been living the lie this whole time. What actually happened is that Cloud was actually there. But he wasn't there. So Zack is the character with the black hair that was the actual mercenary that you actually played through in the flashback sequences. There was one random goon you talked to through the entire adventure who's like your buddy. That was Cloud. Cloud was just a generic goon. He failed. He never joined Soldier. He just became a regular like level 7 grunt. Because he wasn't good.
He was a level 7 grunt, not a level 50 boss.
Yeah. And I liked that like little twist a lot, because I love the idea that Cloud talked all this shit and just failed. I really liked that.
Was he aware that he was lying?
No. Here's what happens. He's living a complete delusion because of what happened to Zack. So the gist of what happens is that everything that they talked about did still happen in air quotes. So like Zack did talk to Sephiroth and all that things. Zack was always talking to Cloud, and they were like being buddies. That's how Cloud like knew all the events, because he was you know there just off to the side. What happens is all of them went together. It was Sephiroth, Cloud, one extra goon who unfortunately died, Tifa, and then Zack went up to the reactor. Sephiroth, you know, he goes up there. He sees all the weird like experience they're doing on these weird like freaky clone monsters. And he's like, you know, I always thought I was born different. Am I one of these weird, freaky monsters? And so then Sephiroth goes to, like, research all about himself and all the experience and everything, realizes that, well, he thinks he's an ancient, which are these, you know, like, really cool, like, freaky, like, spirit people. He fucking goes crazy and thinks that, you know, he's not human, none of these people matter. He wants to go to the promised land and become one with the planet. And he goes and it's fucking like murder spree. So then you guys chase him up into the macro reactor because Genova, who's like this creepy, freaky, like Cronenberg, like lady monster thing. It's like, okay. It's this fleshy, like vaguely woman shaped monster, like connected to all these like weird, like tentacles. And it's like missing the top half of her head. So it's just like the bottom jaw. It looks fucking cool. So that like that's Sephiroth thinks that's his mother, and he wants to reunite with her and become a weird Cronenberg monster. So you guys go to stop him. Tifa's dad tries to stop him. Sephiroth just fucking shanks him and kills him with his big fucking sword. Tifa freaks out, runs in after Sephiroth to try to like punch him, but she's like a 15-year-old girl. Sephiroth's like, get the fuck off of me. Slashes her with the sword and doesn't kill her somehow. Zack and you run in there. You're like, you bastard, I won't allow it. Zack runs up there to have his anime fight with Sephiroth. You go over to the save Tifa and make sure she's okay, and like, take off your helmet and show that you're, you know, Cloud was there the whole time. Zack ends up getting beat. He goes like flying out of the fucking like room, tumbles down the fucking stairs, and like Clyde thinks he dies. This causes Clyde to fucking snap. He thinks right now that all of his friends just fucking died. Sephiroth betrayed him, Tifa just got fucking murdered, and Zack just got his ass fucking kicked. So
now, I'm a little confused as to why Sephiroth did this, because weren't they going to this thing as part of, like, this anti... Didn't they have the same goals?
No, for the most part,
to stop them from doing this, like,
this is,
anti-Earth
This is when they were still in Shinra. This is the past when they were in Shinra, and they're part of the bad guys. Clyde was a goon in Shinra before he left. So they were going up there to see the experiments, and then Sephiroth sees the experiments, starts to kind of have a weird existential crisis that he might be a weird, like, freaking
clone baby. It makes sense now. I thought this was after they left Shinra.
No. This is in the past. This is what makes Cloud into what he is when you play as him. And so then Cloud freaks the fuck out, grabs fucking Zack's big buster sword, and just runs up the fucking stairs when Sephiroth is still, like, trying to figure out the computer to get, like, Jenova out of there, and just fucking runs in through with the fucking sword. And so Sephiroth's like, oh, and starts fucking dying, like, smacks Cloud away, like, tries to, like, stumble away, saying that, like, he can't die here, he still has to reunite with Jenova. Cloud goes full fucking Luke Skywalker, and just goes, like, and just cuts the shit out of Sephiroth, cuts his arm off, cuts him in fucking half, Darth Maul style, and kicks him off the fucking pit. Thus killing Sephiroth. The Sephiroth you actually know in the future is actually a weird freaky clone thing, because Dr. Hojo was creating clones of Sephiroth because Sephiroth was really fucking strong and didn't want to just, you know, have their greatest asset just tumble down a fucking cliff.
Was he one of the people that had all the bullshit in him? Like, he was one of the fancy Guardian Project dudes or whatever?
So you're always onto something. So Hojo is just a scientist, but he makes those things.
Okay.
So he grabs... So, you know, they try to cover up the whole, you know, Nibelheim getting massacred thing, shove Tifa off in some slum in Midgar, but they see Clyde and Zack still alive, they decide to try to take them and make them into super soldiers. Now, they stuff them into these genetic pods, they're injecting, like, weird Jenova cells, Mako energy, and Sephiroth's DNA. The idea is to make them a clone of Sephiroth. Not like a full-ass, like, you know, clone grind from, like, the baby up, but to...
Well, you're getting some of his juice, some of that good Sephiroth juice.
And this will make you, one, really strong because of the Mako energy, will make you a super soldier. Jenova cells will connect you to Jenova, and then Sephiroth will be your kind of binding. Your Jenova cells will be connecting you to him, and you'll be forced to go seek him out. Because he's, spoilers, still kind of alive in air quotes. He fell through this Mako stream up into the north, and he's all connected up into, like, this rock as, like, a weird one-armed torso. That's why when you see him in his final boss form...
I thought Final Fantasy VII was just like Sephiroth was like a bad guy. He's like, hey, you guys, I'm going to save the Earth.
It's
and then you like go, hey, how about you go fuck yourself? And then you like ride chocobos.
No,
and
it's, then, like, it's Midgar. It's intense.
Only,
I liked it
like,
a lot.
An hour into the game, then the rest of the game is like a giant open world thing.
Yeah. So anyway, to finish it off, here's what happened. So Zack was built different. He's a super soldier already. So he breaks out of the fucking pod and, you know, stabs the fucking scientist, and he goes to save Cloud because Cloud's his buddy. Cloud saved him. He likes him. So he grabs Cloud. He, like, drags him away. And he has this really fun, like, little bonding moment that maybe actually really likes Zack a lot, where, you know, he's like, he gives Cloud one of his old uniforms, and he's like doing his little, like, squat and everything. He's like, oh man, we're gonna get out of here. We're gonna Midgar. Fuck Shinra. Me and you, buddy. We're gonna take this together. We'll go to Midgar. You know what I'll do? I'll go meet up with my old girlfriend. We'll crash there, maybe. I'll be a mercenary. Yeah, I can get away with that. Hey, Cloud, what are you going to do? And Cloud's kind of, like, all delirious from being in the pod for, like, all these years. He's like, hey, don't worry, Cloud, buddy. I'd never leave you behind. I like you. You and me, we'll be mercenaries together. I got your back no matter what. So when they try to go into Midgar, they end up running into a bunch of Shinra goons. Zack ends up dying trying to protect Cloud. And so Cloud, you know, Cloud survives because he's all, like, delirious and just kind of dying. The Shinra guys just kind of assume he's going to die anyway. They just leave him. So Cloud, like, crawls over to Zack's dead body, like, picks up the sword and, like, cries out into the sky, and then stumbles into Midgar, all delirious and shit. Tifa manages to find him, kind of snaps him back, but that's why, and Cloud now takes on Zack's personality and his kind of, like, past, because he already has his uniform and his sword. And so when Tifa's like, hey, did you actually join Soldier, Cloud? Are you like, okay? He's like, oh, yeah, of course I did. I'm Soldier, first class. And he starts just taking on Zack's, like, whole persona.
Huh. So he's probably, because I guess all these super soldier dudes are connected via, like, the Sephiroth bullshit that's in them too, right? So
yes.
They're all kind of Okay, that makes sense then.
And he wakes up out of this thing,
and the only person that he had a connection to was the Zack dude, who literally I have never heard of this character related to Final Fantasy at all.
You actually have.
Literally the first time I've ever seen him.
You have in Final Fantasy House. Technically speaking, you actually have.
I don't remember Final Fantasy House at all.
Oh, that was the people making the weird cult in that weird house.
I remember that, but I don't remember anything else about it.
Oh, well, anyway. I really liked, I loved Cloud's whole, backstory, because it's part of him, throughout the whole game, Cloud's having these weird, flashbacks and these weird things of trying to remember who he actually is, and then, Sephiroth's lying to him, telling him how he's just a clone and nothing else, he's just a puppet, and then, Tifa's trying to tell him that he's still Cloud. He's, all confused. He had this whole, dungeon where you go into his fucking mind, and he's, losing it. It's actually
really
cool.
Oh, bro,
really
it's just
cool.
Persona.
Yeah. I definitely see why people like Final Fantasy VII. I definitely see why they like Cloud. I like pretty much the entire cast, too. Besides maybe, Cate Sith. I think literally nobody likes him.
I've never heard of that name.
Yeah, there's a reason. He sucks.
Is that the dog?
No, Cate Sith is a little cat that's riding a big, fat Moogle thing. He's a terrible party member, and he's also a terrible fucking character, because he literally causes nothing but problems and, never actually says sorry. he's a spy that works for Shinra and fucks you over, and then you guys just don't murder him for some reason. He's so dumb, nobody likes him. But there's actually one more thing I want to talk about. I thought it was a really cool moment. I have to praise it. So do you ever remember Mario and Luigi Superstar? Do you remember that one?
Yes,
that one
I played
dungeon
it several times.
Yeah, the Game Boy one, the original one. Do you remember when Mario got sick and you had to play as Luigi?
Yes. Where when I was little, I was like, oh, this is just like Goku. I get to play as Trunks.
See, that was actually one of my favorite moments in the game, because I had Luigi's little character arc and everything. But that's in Final Fantasy VII, and I lost my shit when I saw it. So at one point, Cloud gets, let's say spoiler-free, gets debilitated. You might have seen him in that picture of him in a wheelchair. Cloud gets fucked up, and he's all delirious, and he's all in this weird zombified coma. So then you have to play as Tifa, and you have to go find Cloud. You find Cloud. Tifa ends up staying behind, and she leaves the party temporarily. And so then there's this really cool moment where you're on your big airship, and you're like, well, the Merit's like, well, guys, we lost one of our best guys, and we lost one of our best leading ladies. We have to have a new leader. I know just who to make it. You, Barrett? Nah, I'm not much of a leader. I let Avalanche into the demise.
Plays the Moogle with a cat.
No. He's like, I know the perfect leader for the job. He walks past everybody, puts his hand on Sid, and he's like, Sid, you're gonna be the leader. And Sid's like, what the fuck are you talking about? Sounds like a pain in the ass. Think about it, Sid. Who's the guy who got all the members of Highwind over here? And the crew, because he gets this whole crew for the airship to defect and join them. They're like, Sid, who's the greatest dragoon in the entire world? Sid! Who's the new leader of our fucking organization? Sid! 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 And Sid's like, alright, fuck it, sure. You know what? Yeah, I can do it. I can be the greatest goddamn party member ever! And he runs out of the room, and it's like, ding! You are now playing as Sid. And you have to do an entire dungeon in playing as Sid. And it's
That's
so fucking sick. So
I like when a game will, they usually do it with DLC things. In Deus Ex Human Revolution, they had that DLC where you were on the big cargo ship when you were going to China.
Mm-hmm.
And when you did that, it took away all your stuff, and they basically said, alright, this is all the shit, this is a brand new character. Or that island in Breath of the Wild where they took away all your shit and you had to start from ground zero and all that. I like when a game will do that every now and then.
Yeah, I didn't know there was going to be that kind of protagonist switch. It's only for you play as Tifa for less than an hour, depends if you know where to fucking go, where to find Cloud. And you play as Sid for maybe two, depending on how long you're going to fuck around. I fucked around for a while because I was I really liked using Yuffie and Barret for most of the entire game. I was like, man, if only I could fit Sid in there. It's just so hard because you can't switch out Cloud. And then I got to use Sid as the party member, and I was just like, oh, shit, I get to have literally my favorite three characters in my party. Hell yeah. So I spent extra time just fucking around, just fighting monsters as them because I was having so much fucking fun. But yeah, it's a really fucking cool game. I actually liked it a lot. I got really engaged in the story and the characters, which I didn't even expect to fucking do, considering how old it was. It was way more complex, as you yourself just found out from one segment of it.
Yeah, and
it's
apparently
cool.
That's only the the game is you go up to Midgard is literally all I knew about the game, but apparently there's a lot of game past that.
Oh, actually, I have one more thing. It's not going to be long. I'm sorry. One more thing about Seven Nights at Freddy's. So my two friends who wanted me to play the game, who played it a long time ago, neither of them, it was Ryan and a guy named Jarek. These two guys didn't beat Emerald or Ruby Weapon, so I made it my goal, because I was streaming it for them, to beat it for them. And trying to fight Emerald Weapon took me like 6 hours, dude, because I didn't
what
know...
What is it?
So Emerald Weapon is this big fucking green robot that lives underwater. So the gimmick is that you have to use an underwater material to be able to breathe underwater, otherwise you have 20 minutes to fight him, which is not as long as you think to fight the fucking robot. So he has 1 million health. That's almost double the amount of the final boss that the game actually has. They're meant to be side optional super bosses. That's their gimmick, right? So you have to do... Okay, so he has this gimmick where he summons his extra eyeballs, shoots you, drains your mana, shoots you, hits your health bar, but also... He does Air TM Storm, which is materia backwards, where he does 1,111 damage based on every materia you have. So if you have, you know, 9 materia, you get one shot, because you can only have, you know, 999,000 HP. So what you do is, after beating my head into him over and over again, my friends kind of told me, like, how to actually fight him. You have to kind of break the game. You have to get Knights of the Round and an ability called Mime. And then also another ability called Double Summon. So as you're fighting him for like 5.5 hours, I was like, fine, I'll go fucking get the abilities. I rode over to the battle tower, beat the shit out of the fucking enemies, get Omni Slash, which, you know, just to add it, and get W Summon, and then run back over to him. So the gimmick with Mime is that Mime recasts the previous ability used in battle, right?
Oh, so you just hit him with the same material thing?
Yes.
The storm?
But Mime doesn't cost mana. So you summon the Knights of the Round, which you need to go do the Chocobo thing, or, you know, cheat, and you go get the Knights. The Knights are a 1.5 minute long summon sequence.
To what?
It's 1.5 minutes. That's not even the longest attack in that game. Sephiroth, in his final boss form, has an attack called Supernova, which takes 2 entire minutes to do.
Did I ever tell you about why I stopped playing Runeterra, the League of Legends card game?
He does Supernova only once, to be fair. But anyway.
Okay, yeah, sure.
So anyway, so you summon Knights of the Round. They come out and they do their big damage. So there's a damage cap in 7. So even if you do one big, like, laser beam, it can only ever do 999, right? But what if an attack does 999 damage 15 separate times? So you get double summon, which means every time you summon once, you technically do it twice. So it makes it cost 500 mana to do. So, so you go over there, you summon...
You do 24,000 damage.
You summon them twice, then you do nothing else. You just hit Mime, and Mime doesn't cost mana, so you just reactivate the double summon and summon them 2 more times for free over and over. And you attack... HP absorb, which is basically you heal for 10% of the damage you deal. When we were doing that much damage, is basically a full heal anyway. And then you have your other two party members just be dead in the minute of the fight, and you just have Cloud solo constantly spamming Knights of the Round with Mime and healing over and over again while having under 8 materia so you don't get one shot. And that's how you beat Emerald Weapon, and it takes about 40 minutes. But yeah, I felt it, and you know what? It felt satisfying to be able to beat that boss after having such a struggle. I haven't had like a satisfying moment in a game like that for a very long time. It felt really good. I really liked it, as dumb as it sounded. But yeah, I actually, it's on Steam. The Steam port sucks. Get it on like PS4 or something. Legitimately, if you have not played 7, you're missing out. It's actually pretty damn good.
Now, I have a question about the battle system. So I know there's the ATB. Is there any way besides your speed stat that you can manipulate it? Can you chain attacks? Because my problem with all these older RPGs is I fucking cannot stand menu manipulation combat. You could dress it up and do all these fun little things, but I cannot fucking stand it.
Outside of these speed ups, there's a priority based system.
Like the best, I guess Child of Light kind of had that, where it had that bar, and then everyone was moving along this time bar, and then there was, like, the attack duration, where you had your different attacks. If you hit an enemy during it, they get set back on the timeline, and you'd, like, skip half a turn. But you could manipulate that by slowing down different enemies with another ability. But this one, it sounds like it's... If can I, like, go, okay, I'm gonna... Are there... I'm trying to think if there's like anything, or is it just I wait for my ATB and bop bop bop, and I try and time them like that. Like maybe Tifa's got higher, or Aerith's got higher speed, and she can cast a debuff, and then she does that first. She hits them with a second debuff, and then my guy comes in and hits them all, and it expunges it and all that. Is there stuff like that going on?
Yeah, that's pretty much how it works. Yeah, you queue up actions with a priority based system. Now you can interrupt these things because there are certain moves and things that will always take priority. Example would be the limit breaks. That's when your character takes enough damage, they have their like super move, you know? And everyone has a bunch of super moves. Whenever you cast one of those limit breaks, it overwrites everything. It'll interrupt your ally's turn, your enemy's turn. You will go first, and you will go immediately upon hitting the limit break.
Okay.
So you can do that. That's pretty much the only other way to like actually to interrupt the flow. It's actually a way you can kind of cheese Emerald Weapon too without having to do Knights of the Round spam, is you just try to like set it up so you don't let him get like a full turn off.
Oh, because it'll end his turn when he gets Omni Slashed.
Yeah, because whenever you have, whenever you go up with a limit break, you always take priority over the enemies. So yeah, you can fuck with them like that. But like, there's like four different strategies. I did the one that took the less grinding one, so I did the Knights of the Round spam. But yeah, it is in there, but not as in depth as like say Child of Light would do, because it is still, you know, it's like a 20-year-old game.
Yeah, is it early 90s or was it early 2000s?
It was late 90s. It was like 97, I think, that game came out in.
God damn. You know, Paper Mario came out in 2001.
Oh, yeah, I did.
You know, I'm getting a lot of Paper Mario vibes from this Final Fantasy game.
So, yeah, I really, really, really liked it. Now, another game that I was playing through White Boy
that
Summer.
That you hated.
Another game that I'll get to that. Another game that I absolutely fucking despised, I guess, is I'm not exactly liking Guilty Gear Strive that much right now, but I just need to adapt to it. It's so fucking annoying. If
you were Alex, so when we went to start the recording,
I was mad.
I called him on Discord. He was Alex. Get I was all right. Alex was so mad that I couldn't do my joke I was going to do, where I was going to start playing soothing train noises to calm him down, because he needed some calm down time. But I know if I would have said that joke, he would have got really, really mad.
This podcast would have been canceled right then and there.
He only gets, the only other time I've heard Alex get this pissy is when he's playing just a few games. When he's playing Overwatch, when he's playing For Honor, when he was playing Street Fighter, when he was playing League of Legends, and when he was playing Strive. He just gets really mad. He's not fun to be around because he's just, oh, this is fucking bullshit. You are two steps away from being Boogie 2-9 whatever when you're getting mad at these games, Alex.
Let me explain something. All right. In defense of getting mad at video games.
Get good.
Fuck For Honor. Everyone can agree, fuck For Honor. Alright,
you just can't deal with grabs.
For Honor, not even just grabs, it's just For Honor is a game that is a salt mine. Even my friend, who is like a fucking zen monk in fighting games, gets mad at For Honor. That game is a free space. In my defense for that one, literally everybody hates it. Let's just move that one to the side. Overwatch.
I'll say up front,
Overwatch
my
steak.
My only problem with Guilty Gear Strive is I started it up and it took about 7 minutes to go through all the screens to allow me to play the game.
So, okay, let's just, Strive is very, very poorly fucking made. Like,
Dragon Ball FighterZ?
Yes.
You remember that ancient game?
Yes.
Do you remember how you would start it up and it would have, like, connecting to server? And it would do that 14 fucking times before you could play the game.
Remember, Ted, I mean it. I said this on a really, really old episode, but I had a tear in my eye when I plugged in an old console, put in a game, and just got to play it. I didn't have to go through all these fucking menus and loading. Kids don't understand what they're fucking missing out with these games, dog. Anyway, Strive is legitimately a poorly made game. It has good netcode, but it has bad literally everything else.
Sam's show is poorly designed because it takes fucking forever to do anything. Street Fighter V is poorly designed. Strive is poorly designed. Is there a fighting game that has come out since 2009 that is playable, Alex?
Ever hear a game called Unist?
No, that's an incredibly anime game.
Unist is pretty good from what I know.
Is it Unist or Melty Blood that people just play it on dumpsters outside the convention hall?
Melty Blood. People who play Melty Blood play it literally anywhere. Also, fun fact, did you know Melty Blood has the highest amount of N-words said in any Discord server?
Well, let's get cracking.
I don't know if they're tied anymore or it's the runner-up, but the other one is JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, Heritage for the Future. Notice the pattern between these two games? Hold on, before I go back to Guilty Gear, I have to tell you about a story. Okay, so Zarthy or whatever, there's like one of the mods in that Discord, and I posted a picture of like a here's why it's up there, because I'm in that Discord. Fun fact, I'm the most racist person in the podcast, apparently.
Well, let me crack my knuckles again. I better get to work.
Oh man, I guess this really is White Boy Summer.
But when you finish this, I do have something that proves that I'm more racist than you.
Great. Go ahead. So
great.
So Zarth had a post. Now, Ted, you know how we have Discord moderation to stop people from saying like certain words and acting certain ways and shit, you know?
Yeah, like my voicemail, 413-6545-206, where you could just call and shout the N-word and there's nothing I could do to stop you.
So their real thing made by Zarth was like, hey guys, listen, I know you get heated in video games and all, we don't want this Discord to be some kind of like stupid prissy hug box, so if you want to say the N-word, just fucking say it. those are the two ways to act online: prissy hug box and hard R slinger.
That actually ties in really closely to what I was about to say.
What?
So a couple days ago, it was like, I don't know, like 10, 9, 4. What is time? Time's a fucking illusion. Be a warlock. Who gives a shit? Nothing's real. I decided, hey, I wonder if I can listen to the farthest right wing podcast and the farthest left wing podcast. I went so left, I found Red Star Videos, which was a Marxist talking about leftist politics while wearing a face mask alone in his room in a YouTube video.
Nice.
And then on the far right, the name of the podcast was The Daily Showa. Now, unfortunately, and this is going to put me in a bad, bad light because I sometimes watch Sad Hyde videos. Out of those two podcasts, only the literal Nazi one got me to laugh. It was a shock laugh. All right, it was a Kramer. It was like a Kramer laugh. I just picked a random episode, right? And it was during the George Floyd stuff, so about a year ago.
Oh yeah, of course.
I hit play on it, which I had to. It's not on any services. I had to go and like it literally bit shoot, and it opens up, and it's just like Donkey Kong Country music. It's like, do, 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 do. And I'm like, oh shit, did I click the wrong video? Then they start playing monkey screech noises. And then they say, hey, welcome to the Daily Show, a coverage of the George Floyd riot. I was like, oh fuck. Because it hit me all at once. Because then the host, he had like a soundboard, like one of those, like, like a streamer box. You just press a button. And I could hear him smashing all the buttons, making screeching noises. Now, Alex, I listened to about 15 minutes of that podcast, and I'm just going to say, I think they say the N-word a little bit more than the UNIS Discord. See, you laughed at it too, Alex. No, I'm fine. I'm safe.
I pictured it in my head.
Like, I know.
Man, they're going crazy out there. Okay, I'm gonna. All right, I'm gonna get canceled. Wait, Ted, I have to get canceled. I'm gonna imagine with one of the jokes was. All right, it opens up. You hear like the monkey noises. You hear like the chains rattling. It's like, whew, it's like a zoo out there.
No. All right, so Alex, I guess we are going to BitChute now. Fuck. Anyway. Well, I guess let's go see if we can do a collab with him on the same platform.
Anyway, hey, you guys ever hear of Sam Hyde?
Joe told me that the podcast network that hosts that one is called The Right Stuff, and
of course,
that is in the Adult Swim show he did, the Million Dollar Extreme.
I mean, you know what? You know what? The Right Stuff isn't nearly as bad sounding as The Daily Show, at least.
There were some interesting podcast names. I will say, though, what the whole thing I was going for is I wanted to see how similarly they lined up. And I will say this. They did both hate Jews, which was like kind of a weird thing to hear.
It's funny you actually mentioned that. I was watching this video. It was this guy called Shirtfight Otaku, who's a little sus sometimes, but he's 60%
some kind of short, fat otaku being sus? I don't know. That doesn't really line up with that brand.
He had this one thing where he tries to take like a more censored view on things, which I can appreciate that, I guess. He tries to do what you do, actually, where he tries to see like both sides of like the extremes.
And he's too cultured to play Donkey Kong country music.
I'm not gonna say my joke. Anyway, so moving on. So
you getting up to some monkey business?
So he was talking about this guy called Vosh, who's like this super left like YouTuber guy, and he was talking about how there is actually a huge growing Semitism or whatever the fuck is pronounced in the left side of politics on the internet right now, and it's getting like really weird where they're. He served Vosh or whatever, screaming about how, you know, the whole Palestine and Israel thing going on right now, and they have like their anti-missile dome. Vosh screamed in one of his videos how the world would be better if without the fucking, without Israel and the Jews in it. Just imagine if we just nuked Israel at the fucking map, how much more peaceful the entire fucking world would be. And Sherpa Otaku was like, dude, imagine you are so woke you agree with literally Hitler.
Yeah, now to be fair, Alex, we did literally make the same joke with the Great Golden Wall of China.
Yes, I know, but the thing is that I was trying to be funny. I don't actually hate the Chinese. Vosh clearly does actually hate Jewish people. I just don't like the CCP, and that's the most fucking lukewarm take ever. Even mainlanders don't like the CCP, dude. Anyway, now that I've officially been canceled, not that I'll never get a good rate up in fucking these gacha games ever again.
That's really funny. I don't know. The idea of the CCP going, let's go ahead and change that that Joanna altar or whatever. We'll change that to be a 3-star. He gets a 3-star craft essence.
That'll show those fuckers to diss us.
I don't remember Fate Grand Order.
Anyway, well, that was like a fucking hour, dude. Do you want somebody to do my fucking show tier list? Because we're on a big episode.
Yes, I want to. All right, so Alex, a few weeks ago, actually, this is a bit ago, I recommended to Alex to start writing notes and making a tier list of these awful TV shows that he watches at work. The Boomer Television Tier List by Alex.
Yes. So, as I've told Ted about this, I think I've mentioned the podcast once or twice. I know I talked about Zwengulian crime dramas already, but when I'm at work and at lunch, there's always something going on TV. Now, people always seem to go to the same couple of channels. They're watching, you know, ABC News, they're watching
Hardcore Rape, or they're watching Zwengulian.
Hardcore Rape or Zwengulian, yeah. They're either watching, I think it's Laugh that has Zwengulian on it. It's like, it's one of the channel sixes, because there's like, you know, 6-1, 6-2, 6-3, 6-4. It's one of the sixes that has Zwengulian on it.
And the way you describe those channels literally sounds like a prison television.
So there's Ion Television. Now, Ion Television is the one that I always try to watch. If I got the remote, I'm going to Ion. There's this one old guy who's always there to try to watch the news. I tried to like take my lunch later just to not watch the news with this old guy. So Ion Television is like a non-stop, steady stream of reruns of crime dramas and cop shows. That's all it is. Constant, just beam it into your fucking eyes. I don't even know if they're new. I don't know, because they say it's a new episode, but is it new, like, running, or are they just taking, like, a rerun from a different channel? Because NCIS is on there, but it's also on, like, ABC, you know? So I have no idea. So, watching all of these shows and a couple of sitcoms and shit, I've categorized every single thing, and I've set the tier list to Tad, and just in case, I'm going to resend it to you on Discord very professionally, so you can view
it. No, I have it. It's going to be in the description, I'll remember. As well as a picture of Alex playing Guilty Gear Strive. to play Guilty Gear Strive.
So, I'm rating these shows not just based on, like, their quality, because all these shows are kind of, like, crime dramas kind of follow in the same kind of, like, flow of things as you might have seen. They all kind of follow the same kind of, like, cast of characters, like, the hardcore guy, the comedic side relief, the one black guy, the
much
little
like
old
video
person.
Games, these shows are a solved medium.
Yeah. So I rate them more based on like how funny each character is individually and like their dynamic. Also how schlocky it is. So here are the tier list. Let's start off with the two Elder God tiers, right? We're gonna go up and down. Now, The Three Stooges is fucking hysterical still. That is classic-based comedy.
Three Stooges is, like, the definition of high-quality television. It has never stopped being funny.
They're still good. They still have a lot of good jokes, and it's not like a bunch of hardcore laughs, but it is a steady stream of hearty chuckles. It's consistent. And I appreciate that. There's this, I'm gonna talk about this really old joke then, from like the fucking like 40s or whatever the fuck the Three Stooges aired, that it actually made me like start giggling a little bit, because I didn't expect such an old joke, I guess, because I'm so desensitized to humor. So Larry,
and Curly are working as photograph operators. They go, "Hey Larry, check out this new tune I found." Oh. And then a man in a gorilla suit shows up.
Oh, it's like a zoo in there. You can't say that, bunk. Hey, don't hit him, bunk. And they just start bonking each other.
There has to be a Three Stooges where they're like, they're defectors in the Nazi army. And he's like, "No, you gotta do it like this." And they do like the Nazi salute and they karate chop Hitler.
No, Mo, you can't say the N-word anymore. It's the year 2000. Ah, fuck those. And it just cuts. So. Mo, Larry, and Curly are being held at gunpoint in a prison.
All right.
So it's already up to a good start with this bit. So, like, all right, boys. You know, they have a firing squad. This little, like, army dude is, you know, tells all those guys, like, all right, waste these guys. Like, wait a minute. We don't get a last smoke. He's like, fine, you get one last smoke, and then you guys are toast. And then Curly's like, oh, boy. He reaches onto his shirt and just pulls out, a humongous fucking like 3 foot long cigar. And then like all right boys, one last smoke. He just puts it into his fucking mouth, they light it, and he's doing a little puff thing you do with cigars.
Holding it like he's putting like one hand way out and holding out the other side?
Yeah, he's holding like a big fucking like Subway sandwich, right? And just going, puffing it. And like puff, 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 and like, and the clock starts ticking and ticking and ticking. It takes like 24 hours. The guards are asleep, and I initially thought, all right, they're just gonna run away now that they distracted him long enough. And he smokes the cigar so much he swallows the last bit, starts choking. They cough it out. They do the Heimlich maneuver, pop it out of him. It hits the guard, who wakes up like, oh, good, you're done with your last smoke. Time to die, boys. And they're like, oh shit, our plan failed. Hey, look. Is that the general? The general! And they look around, and then they just run away. And I just lost my fucking mind that they wasted so much time for a look-away bit. I didn't expect that. That actually made me laugh a lot. It was really good.
It was fantastic. I fucking love podcast content where we just describe Three Stooges bits.
Dude, go watch
it's still
Stooges.
Funny even in this way. It's great.
So...
We're a couple of wise guys. I just poked the listener's eyes when I did that pop noise.
So. The next one the other guy cheer is NCIS Los Angeles. Now, as you can already tell from this thing, there are like four different NCIS shows. You get
the
NCIS.
Dude on the NCIS Los Angeles image here looks like Jack Final Fantasy for the E3 presentation today.
He does look like the fucking dude.
From Final Fantasy, like, Origins, something. There's, like, seven words in the title, and it's just this fucking dude.
So,
was that the one with the gamer? The guy that was, like, playing video games, and then he had, like, the first-person view that was, like, a shitty Doom clone?
No. That one was actually Law & Order Special Victims Unit. Despite that one's usually the rapey show, but I specifically know it wasn't a rape one, because I specifically know Law & Order from all the other ones. Okay, this is going to sound... Okay, so to get canceled, I recognize each crime show based on their token black guy.
It's the only thing that's different between each show.
Because they always have the same cast of characters. Like, look right here, the difference between Los Angeles black guy and Hawaii 5-0 black guy. Look at the personality in Hawaii 5-0 black guy.
They're wet because they're covered in water. That's their character trait.
So
that one has red shirt. Oh my god, the one in NCIS Los Angeles has a red shirt too!
So Ice-T is in Law & Order, and I recognize Ice-T fucking anywhere. So, That's that one. We'll get to that one. I have some statements. With NCIS Los Angeles, I really like the cast of characters, because you got your Jack Goodman, basic-ass fucking white guy pro tag. You got your black kind of funny sidekick dude. And these two guys are going around, solving all these, high-ass, they're more like FBI guys. These high-ass FBI, fucking terrorist crimes. That's their shtick, while getting involved
this
in,
this man illegally downloaded an anime using Mediacom's internet service. Get him.
So, they've got them, they've got their technical fucking dude with his curly-ass fucking hair, and then he's kind of like the weird guy, but also kind of snarky. You've got the girl, who exists, and then you've got my favorite, who is like their boss, who is this, like, 3.5
Svengoolie. Foot...
It's Svengoolie. It's this little 3.5 foot tall, like, old lady with a bowl cut and these big glasses. And I have no idea why they have just, like, this Yoda function. All she does in the show is she sits in her little chair and they're like, oh, you boys did really good on your stupid investigation. And you know what they say? And then they just say, she says some random, like, Chinese saying and then fucks off. And they're like, she always has the answer. she is just there to just do random fucking one-liners and then fuck off. She's very rarely in an episode. Sometimes she is. They had this one case where they had to solve this guy who was doing not tax fraud. He was doing corpse fraud at a fucking funeral service. So they go undercover as a couple.
They had to go undercover as corpses.
They go undercover as corpses. And they were just doing these short jokes at her. And she got so pissed off that she gave the black guy a pay cut for calling her short all the time.
Well, she was quite short with him.
But yeah, I like that one because despite its basic setup, it has, I guess, the schlockiest of all the setups, where I enjoy it because of how shitty it is, but it also feels genuinely shitty. Does that make sense? I feel like they're trying, right? They're not just going off of a checklist like some of those ones down there in the lower tier. I feel like they actually do want to entertain you, albeit in very basic cable TV way, right?
They are putting in a good faith effort. They are not NCIS-ing it.
Yeah. They're not doing NCIS Classic. So, good tier. These shows are good. They're fine. I don't have big issues. They're just not nearly as consistently entertaining as the other god tiers, but they're fun. Now, How I Met Your Mother, that's a classic fucking sitcom. Everyone fucking knows that. I'm sure you've seen a handful of episodes of it here and then.
Yeah, yeah.
Show, it makes me laugh a lot, but not as consistently as Three Stooges. It's more like a small, burst every now and then for their one joke or whatever, rather than a constant, consistent, stream of chuckles like the Three Stooges.
I imagine it the Three Stooges is a full-on summer rain. It's feeding the crops. It's everyone enjoys it. You got the frogs out there. It's awesome. And then How I Met Your Mother feels more like it's stormy. It's real windy. It might rain, might not rain. Who knows? Who could say? Either or.
Yeah, that's a good explanation of it.
It's the thunder clapping is when you laugh from the storm.
Yeah.
It's when you laugh. I thought that was a pretty funny comparison.
It's okay, Ted. I'm here for you.
Hey, you want to talk about bones?
No. I have one joke I want to talk about that I thought was really funny. There's occasionally How I Met Your Mother will go it's very down to earth, just sitcom-y stuff, but it'll occasionally go to an almost cartoony level. So, Barney, who is, Neil Patrick Harris, is, the playboy. He's got around, constantly sleeping with women and shit and doing, he has this thing called, that he calls the book, of all of the cool, pickup lines and all the cool tricks to get women to sleep with him. So, two episodes, later, they're sneaking in his house to, because he gets a girlfriend that he's actually happy with, and the girl fucking hates that. She hates seeing Barney be happy. Because it doesn't fit his MO. She thinks he's up to something because this chick is not conventionally attractive, so there's no way Barney would do any of this shit. So they're all sneaking around his house, and situation comedy. They all end up getting stuck in his house unknowingly through the whole thing, and they accidentally activate a secret compartment that lowers this big thing from the ceiling that has, ba-bum, the book. It's this gigantic fucking cartoony book of every single pickup line he's ever written that has worked. And that just kind of made me chuckle because throughout most of that time, the show has been really down to earth. I didn't expect them to just like do like a cartoon bit like that.
They've been giving you some straight dick the whole time.
Yeah. It has its moments. How I Met Your Mother is pretty okay. Now, Bones. Bones is actually the first, like, big crime drama I actually watched, that I watched consistently, because that would be on at 4 in the morning back when I was an overnighter.
Uh-huh.
So, Bones is a show that is, like, how do I say this? It's almost like Criminal Minds in how it's constantly having its characters make these massive fucking assumptions that are really stupid. It's like, oh, the bone fracture is off by 2 centimeters of the jaw. Yeah, I'm thinking this guy is, like, a neuro-schizophrenic. Like, they're these giant, like, it doesn't make any fucking sense. Because you've seen Bones, right?
Yeah, I've seen little bits of it. I know that every white woman between the age of 22 and 26, it was their favorite show.
Yeah, I could tell that it is more popular with women, just on the ground that not only does it have, like, a girl main character, but also it's a lot more, like, drama-focused than the other ones. Where the other ones, like, say, NCIS Los Angeles, there'll be drama, but it'll be like, oh, no, the team went on a mission, got shot down, now they're stuck in a foreign country, right? It's like a situation-based drama. Bones is more like those two main characters. It's like they have, like, a relationship, and it forms, like, they're just, like, the detective and then like the person on the field, right? But then they grow into more, they get like married and shit. It's like it's this whole thing. It's mostly about them and how they interact as people. And it's a lot more of like a personal kind of thing rather than just being a crime drama. So I could totally
Which is valid. It's fine. I don't have anything bad to say about Bones. I think it is just white people enjoy it.
Yeah. It is like decently consistent with all of its things. I'd say like some dumb logical leaps that are stupid, but I'll get the Criminal Minds later. It's decent. Now, Svengoolie. I already praised Svengoolie a lot, so I won't take nearly as much time here, but I call it, it's the Joe Buckley of TV shows.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So, Svengoolie, I said, is honestly kind of a better version of Mystery Science Theater, because Mystery Science Theater, they can be kind of annoying sometimes, where I am trying to just watch the movie and kind of, like, enjoy it and shittiness. With Svengoolie,
we already covered Svengoolie in a previous Noise Boys, though.
Yeah.
Svengoolie is good. He's on like every cable access thing. If you have a television and you have an antenna, you can watch Svengoolie.
Yeah, but the only reason he's good in that Elder God tier is because, once again, he has a consistency factor. He can really only be as good as the content, like the movie that he's streaming for you. So sometimes it'll be like a really like interesting movie that he can say a lot of like because he goes into like the movie like being made, not just making jokes about it. So this will be like super interesting, like The Invisible Man. Like I'm super soaked. Other times it'll just be like this random like old monster movie that's like a C-rated movie back in the day, and he won't have much material to work with, right?
You know, I wonder. All the films that they do, well, for the most part, are all royalty-free, like, fair use. I wonder if... It's probably got to exist. A YouTube channel where someone is just, like, an amateur Svengoolie and just doing these hour-and-a-half-long uploads where it's, you know, an old movie from the 30s that's all schlocky and garbage, and then they have their own character and they do it. I think that would fall within normal parody and all that kind of stuff.
If it's royalty-free, it should technically fall fair use. You could do it, but, like, they got Svengoolie. Like, but what can you do that's better than him?
Yeah. And you can already get Svengoolie for free with a fucking antenna.
Yeah.
Now tell me about Hawaii Five-0.
All right, so this is, like, a newer show. At least it's newer on ION, of course. So Hawaii Five-0 takes place in, well, fittingly enough, Hawaii.
Whoa, like an Adam Sandler movie?
Yeah, yes. It's about these, you know, stupid-ass fucking, like, NCIS-based, you know, crime cops running around Hawaii solving, like, big-ass crimes. But they're usually, like, cartel and, like, drug, like, dealer-based, you know? Kind of like that, kind of like the seedy underground of, like, Hawaii kind of thing going on. Now, it's a pretty basic show. Now, nothing, like, stands out in a positive or negative way. But the reason I put it up so high is because I really, really like this random side character who's this really fat Hawaiian guy with a really deep and, like, bassy-ass voice.
Oh, please, please, please tell me it's, like, Otto's uncle for Rocket Power.
He's basically the Otto, yeah, of that fucking show.
Yes. Fuck yes!
So, he runs, like, a fucking... It's not like a taco car. He runs, like, some kind of, like, fast food-like truck, right? And he's actually a former, like, drug runner from, like, this big Hawaii cartel, but he's, you know, switched sides now. He's, like, an informant dude.
He just loves tacos more than heroin.
Yeah, but like he used to be a big drug dude. He used to be a big like crime dude, but now he works with the 5-0 and like gives him deals. Like when they need to like, hey, who's like, you know, Jimmy John, the fucking like, you know, meth dealer. He'll be like, yeah, I know that fuck. And he's like, yeah, dude, I know that Lolo.
Jimmy John, the meth dealer. Freaky fast. Freaky good, as ancient Hawaiians say.
He's like, oh yeah, oh, they're shipping those chickens between the, you know, Honolulu Island and Palalulu Island. Oh man, brother. I don't know Hawaiian islands. I'm just naming random shit, okay? Like, oh man, brother, that's bad. Like, what do you mean? That means that Lolo knows shit about our mythology, yo. And like, he just talks so fucking cool. I like that guy a lot. But he's like their dude. He carries the show for me. And I remember watching this episode where he had his whole like episode where like a couple of his old drug dudes get him. They're after his ass and they capture him and they're like beating the shit out of him. Because the big dude stole the skinny dude's money. He stole like millions of fucking dollars, right? And he wants it back. And he's like, tell you, man, I don't got them anymore. What'd you do with my fucking money? I spent it. What the fuck? You running in a fucking fast food truck? You ain't spending that. It was like, I think, $200,000. What'd you spend the money on? You wouldn't believe you even if I fucking told you. And so he's like, smack him around and everything. And so they, you know, they save him and whatever. And it reveals at the end that what he spent the $200,000 on is that he did a big anonymous donation to like this little public school to like make it better, because he wanted to give back to the community that raised him, rather than just, you know, continue doing the whole drug thing. That was like his like character moment when he was younger. I liked that episode a lot. It was actually really fun. But yeah, to me, Hawaii Five-0 was carried by the big fat Hawaiian guy.
Now Matt here, I see two NCISs, Chicago PD, and Modern Family. I thought you liked Modern Family.
Modern Family is inconsistent. That's the thing. It'll have one episode that's just a fucking, like, constant fucking knee slapper, right? But it'll also have that's just, like, nothing, like, when they go to the cowboy ranch and there's just no good jokes. It's a coin
flip. I feel like
flip.
Modern Family is, like, I'm trying to think of a sitcom that I used to watch. I used to watch, I think it was the George Lopez show. It was on Nick at Night. Teen Nick, I don't know, whatever, where it was like every now and then there'd be an episode I'm like, oh, I really enjoy this, like Elder God tier, you got your Three Stooges, your NCIS Los Angeles, you got your Malcolms in the middle, right?
Yeah. Malcolm is a very good show.
But so, tell me what the difference quickly between NCIS and NCIS New Orleans is.
Okay. So NCIS Classic is just the old school. It's basically like the crime show. It's the Ryu of the crime shows, at least from what I've seen of it. It just feels like nobody stands out. You have, like, you know, generic, like, slightly grizzled. Not super grizzled. That's Chicago PD. Chicago PD is, like, full-on sizzling on the grill grizzling. This guy is like, yeah, I'm slightly adjacent to everyone else's personality, and I'm gonna be a crime cop. And you have, like, your nerdy guy, you have, like, the nerdy, kind of slightly rebellious fucking girl, you get, like, Poindexter, token black guy, girl function. Like, nobody stands out. It's super bog standard, but I can't put it in, like, bad tier, because I feel like, you know, we all came from this, you know? And, like, obviously, like, it's like saying Dragon Ball is, like, really tropey. It made most of the tropes, right?
Yeah.
To me, it's just, like, because it's a little older, it doesn't have the same kind of personality and stick of the cast that fucking Los Angeles does. But New Orleans, though, I've only seen a little bit of it. So from what I've seen, it seemed pretty meh. There might be more that I haven't seen. Fair enough, it could be a good tier for all I know. It has, like, again, simple crime shit, but what I like is that the main dude, so you have your grizzled kind of leader guy, but then you have your main man on the field. He's the snarky guy, but he's different because he has a funny New Orleans accent, and I like him a lot. He's like a southern, like, hick crime cop living in New Orleans.
I'm looking at the promo image for NCIS New Orleans, and all I can think about is that is a Left 4 Dead cast.
So funny you say that. they really do feel like one. They have a fun little dynamic with, like, the country boy, like, doesn't listen to rules and he gets himself hurt. The girl function really likes him, tries to keep him safe and everything. And then the grizzled crime cop exists. He does things and does cool action things and doesn't ever show emotion.
He shows up to say, my God, looks like we got our 15th rape case this episode.
So I hadn't seen a rape episode. Both those episodes were about murders, luckily. Those weren't really rapey. NCIS, the classic NCIS, is a little rapey sometimes. Only sometimes, though. Now, Modern Family. I want to discuss this. I want to discuss like the inconsistency with these episodes. So with Modern Family, I'm talking about like a year ago. I thought it was really funny. I was seeing the good episodes. I haven't seen an episode that just made me go like, and have no reaction whatsoever. Have you ever? You've played Borderlands, so you obviously know what I'm talking about.
You're trying too hard, Modern Family. You're too modern. You're postmodern family.
I don't know if they're still running the show, but you can tell because the actors and the characters age, obviously, between the seasons. So you can kind of tell what seasons are what based on the gay couple, because they have a little daughter they adopted, and you know, she just starts as a baby, and then like in later seasons, she's like a full-ass teenager. So you could tell like, you know, what seasons are what. And I feel like later on when she's like a teenager, they're also not nearly as funny because by the time they've done most of their jokes and bits. Now, the gay couple is pretty much my favorite of the cast. I really like them, but I guess I think it's because they're very different than everyone else.
Now, if
like,
I had to guess,
the dad and mom.
Looking at the photo, it's the two older guys.
Yeah, it's the dude with the blue shirt and the kind of fatter guy. The parents kind of run that show. There are teenage, you know, your teenager like, you know, functions, but they kind of like just side characters to further the antics of the adults. I actually like that setup a lot. I like the parents are kind of the best parts of it. You have the dad who's a realtor who's trying really hard to be a good person, and that's a fucking sin in modern comedy. So obviously everyone makes his life miserable. He has his bitchy wife function who's just like an awful person and has no redeeming qualities. Maybe I just saw the bad episodes, guys, but I don't know. She just seems awful.
I don't know. This is starting to seem more like modern women to me. Real modern family.
You have the old ass man who's just you. He's just an old fucking boomer.
who hates everything except actively fixing his deck.
He
Magic the Gathering or outdoor deck.
He absolutely hates everything except for his like 40 year younger than him smoking ass foreign wife. That I'm sure is just into him for his money. I remember there's a funny joke where she has a friend who's another, like, trophy wife who's married to a guy who's, like, 80. Like, oh, yeah, you'll love him. Jerry's, like, 80, just like you. And he's like, what? He just has this whole minute, like, talking to this old guy. He's like, because like, he's like a 60-year-old man, but this guy's, like, an actual 80-year-old man. Like, oh, yeah, you know.
Where's Ronald Reagan?
You remember?
I want to shake hands with JFK. Where is he? I went to see him on the grassy knoll, and I brought my rifle for him to sign.
Now, the only joke that has made me genuinely laugh, like, there's chuckles, but the one that made me really laugh hard, I think I told it before, when it was the two gay dudes talking about their parents. Have I talked about that one before?
Maybe, but I want you to know right now, I have ceased vibrating, but I am gripping my chair really hard to not just reference that stupid, like, Nazi podcast again.
The alt-right grip. So, anyway, the two gay guys, their parents come to visit. They're two dads. The old guy on the left and then a different old guy. And they start having this argument of which one of their sons is the girl in the relationship, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I really liked that bit because it's like oh, obviously your son's like, you know, he's got little weak wrists. Obviously he's the girl. Hey, they're flimsy wrists, not weak, all right? And like you know what, your fucking son. He's all over there, flaunting his hands around, always talking about his nice fashions. Obviously he's the bottom here. Now listen here, buddy, my boy's from the country, all right? And they just have this fucking argument, and then the two sons, it cuts to the two sons, and they're like I think your dad's getting along nice. Yeah, your dad's pretty cool, you know, for a city boy. Well, what's that supposed to mean? Well, I mean, listen, you think your dad's tough, but he's not. He's city tough. He ain't as cool as my dad, who's country tough. All right, now listen here, you. And they have the exact same argument but for which dad is cooler. I thought that was really funny. That actually made me laugh a lot. Again, it's a hit or miss show, I guess is the way to say it. When it hits. When it misses, oh, it's Borderlands.
All right, now, what is NCIS at Chicago PD?
Well, we're talking about NCIS Classic. It's just a classic ass. It doesn't stand out of the mold kind of show. Chicago PD is also a kind of a newer show. Now, it's super run-of-the-mill, but its only reason it's in meh and not bad tier is because I'm from Illinois, and I go to Chicago a lot. Well, I'm not in Illinois anymore, but when I was living there, I went to Chicago all the time to visit family. So when I'm watching this show, I recognize streets and buildings, and it's kind
of
fun.
That's the bean! I know the bean!
Like,
and you start clapping when you see, like, Michigan.
Yeah, like, It's super weird because all these other shows take place in Los Angeles and like the big cities in New York and shit. But I haven't seen a lot of shows take place in like Chicago, you know? So it felt kind of nice seeing Chicago streets and shit and just, you know, kind of being slightly nostalgic. You know what I mean? But yeah. I had more fun recognizing streets than like the actual plots of Chicago
That's
PD.
That's always a good sign.
So Chicago PD, let me an example. So the main white guy right there, grizzled old man, he is like super grizzled. Every other guy is like, yeah. I don't really like the system. Grizzled McGrizzled over here is built different. Let me give you the random episode as an example. There is this one guy who was kidnapping women, locking them in a place and starving them to death. And they find this guy out. He had this like old lady who was like covering for him. So he goes to interrogate the old lady. And he's like, all right, listen here. I need to tell you where those girls are right fucking now. The
fucking face.
Well, funny you say that. He's like, I need you to tell me where those girls are right fucking now. He's like, I ain't telling you nothing. I have nothing to do with this. Do you really think I'm not going to find out those girls right now? And she's like, you ain't going to do nothing. You're a cop. I ain't a cop. I'm a member of Chicago PD. And then it cuts to him like saving the characters. And you see the old lady shows back up and she's like bruised to shit and has a knife wound in her hand. He just He just beat the fuck out of her and shanked her to get the information. And it's another
one. That's like when you're playing Yakuza and like a guy's blocking your way and not only is a bicycle next to you, but there's a storefront. That man's getting fucked.
But another one that, and this one they show it, is the guy's like running like a drug ring. He's a goon in the drug ring, I should say. He's like, where are they? Where are they fucking kidnapped my fucking dude? And like, I don't know, man. I don't know. He told me just to drive the car. I'm like, where is he? Tell me right fucking now. Rush your ear, I gotta fucking get it. And he turns on the fucking stove oven. He's like, man, I don't fucking know. Like, you got 5 fucking seconds. He's out on like Laker Street. Wrong answer. Boom, and hits him on the ground. You hear him like sizzle and just and like he burns the guy's face and he lifts it up and he has this big fucking like grill burn mark and it's like his like flesh is like kind of melted off a little bit. I'm like, holy fuck, dude. He just like grizzle to grizzle.
You're trying to eat a peanut butter and jelly sandwich in the Walmart break room, just
yeah.
What a great. My grandparents watch these shows.
Yeah. So Chicago PD is in a different situation. Is almost entirely focused on their like grizzled like old man lead because he is so he's way more aggressive than any other of the grizzled old guys in these crime shows. And that's actually why he's in mid tier.
Now, Bad Tier has some interesting choices, because I know Law & Order SVU and Criminal Minds. I thought those were good shows, but you're going to have to tell me.
All right, so I actually liked Criminal Minds when I first saw it. Then I watched more episodes on Netflix, and I saw a bunch of their weaker episodes. So, like, I specifically remember there's this one that I just fucking hated. It was called, like, The Husher, or, like, The Silencer, or whatever his name was.
All right.
For the Criminal Minds gist, for those who don't know, is... Yo, guy, crime cops in the FBI. I love calling them crime cops, dude. So, crime cops in the FBI, you know, a murder or a rape happens, because it's one of those shows, and they're like, man, we gotta figure out the way this guy works. And they've got the dude back there. So the guy with the kind of curly hair, he's their kind of weird, like, I think he's supposed to be autistic dude, who is like, is an who is like, an absolute dork and geek and cannot socialize with anybody. But the minute, like, a murder happens, like, psychic fucking, like, mind. And he can, like, make gigantic logical fucking leaps from just, like, oh, man, it seems he stabbed him in the left side of his shoulder. And then, crime cops. Oh, it seems this guy's a schizophrenic or whatever. Like who had a traumatic past when he was 8. He, like, just, like, mind reads and finds out the entire backstory of this random guy. And
I'm going to take a guess that when he does this, there's classical music playing. There's Beethoven as the man's dancing back and forth. And he's looking at, like, a crime scene. He goes, oh, this man hates hot dogs.
It doesn't do classical music, but it does the criminal. It does, like, a criminal, like... like low key synth, like Deus Ex kind of music. You know, like
does he do the Jarvis thing? Does he like put his hands up? And he's like like swinging like digital screens.
He'll do the one arm on his like his, you know, stroking his chin, the other hand on his elbow, and then the camera like spin around as he's like thinking.
All right,
like doing that shit. So anyway,
I would have thought the main character in the middle there would have done that, because he looks like fucking Iron Man.
No, he's their Iron Man there. He's
their grizzled cop.
Yeah, he's their grizzled cop function. He's their grizzled leader function. Then you've got Girl. And honestly, the rest of those characters barely really show up. I'm surprised with their promo. Those might be from later seasons.
I'm going to point out something here, by the way. From meh downwards, there is one black person in NCIS New Orleans, and then one dude in Chicago PD, and then it's all white.
Ice-T ain't white, thank you.
I don't see him. Where is he?
He's down at Law and Order. He's the left. He's one of those...
I didn't see him. I'm sorry. He blended in. I'm sorry, Mr. T.
I'm sorry, Mr. T.
I'm sorry. I get you mixed up.
Sorry, Mr. Ice-T. You're awfully white-looking.
No, I don't listen to The Daily Show, please.
So I want to talk about this one episode that made me not like the show. So the silencer, he goes around and kills people, like shakes them a bunch, and then stitches their mouth shut, does like a shh, and then like fucks off. So you already tell this is stupid as shit.
He stitches their mouth shut, and then they have to walk around Rupture Farms and gather everyone together to escape.
Well, they're dead. He shaked them a bunch.
Oh, okay.
So crime cop fucking young dude over there is like, why is he, this is so interesting, why does the silencer kill them and then stitch their mouth shut? And then the other dude, the grizzled old man, has this really dumb line where he's like, it's almost as if the killer, like, fucking Christ, it's almost like the killer values silence, is like, silence is more good, is worth more than any word can ever be spoken, or something like really stupid like that.
And I expect you to say it was a stupid line, like, huh, but I wish I could do that to my ex-wife.
No, he makes one of those really big, like, logical fucking leaps that's just really fucking dumb. What happened is the kid was born deaf, would then get a weird, like, surgical implant to make him hear again, but it was fucked up, and whenever he hears a noise from a voice, it just comes out as a really high-pitched, like, a whine, and, like, hurts his fucking ears a lot. So, and his mother would just beat the shit out of him for not, like, talking. Being logical. Fuck, dude, I have another one. Holy shit. Okay, hold on. I'm going to talk about another episode of Criminal Minds that made me laugh. So it'd be like, and so he tried to, like, sign language, and, like, she's like, hey, do you hear me? And we're like, dee, and, like, make him, like, hurt. And he's, like, crying, trying to do, like, a sign language. She would grab his hands, start slapping him, saying, like, don't use your fucking hands. Fucking speak. Smack, smack, smack. I fucking pay $2,000 for your fucking ear. Smack, smack, smack. So the kid grew up to be a serial killer.
I can only imagine her grabbing his hands and slapping him with his own hands. Stop hitting yourself. Stop hitting yourself.
Stop hitting yourself, you deaf piece of shit. Sorry, I have another one I had to talk about that from Criminal Minds.
It's starting to sound like Criminal Minds should be moved up to good tier.
Elder God tier. Okay, so Tad, have you ever had a fucking bit in a movie or a show or a piece of media that's supposed to be really traumatic, but you just laughed your fucking ass off?
Yes, when you told me about the burn victim girl in Katawa Shoujo, where you're like, yeah, she's got this burn victim, and then her house is on fire, and her parents had to cover her from the flames, and then they burnt to death, and then it permanently burned her face. And I'm like, this shit's fucking hilarious. You just keep adding more and more awful things, and it's Sweet Bro and Hella Jeff wraps around to being funny again.
Criminal Minds. There's a kidnapper who goes, and I think it's not a Hawaii Five-0 episode, despite being in like a vacation island. Because this was before Hawaii Five-0 came out. But he would find, like, tourist families, a full, like, nuclear family with, like, you know, husband, wife, like, son and daughter. He only goes for specifically those. It has to be that. Can't be five, can't be three. Has to be that four-base family. That's, like, his MO. He kidnaps them, puts them through a huge, weird torture, and then kills them all, right? And so, you know, they're doing, thinking, like, how to fucking, like, figure out this guy's process. And they psychically find his backstory like they always fucking do. And his backstory is that he's from a very abusive family, specifically the father. He hates dads the most, so what he does is he's kidnapping these families, torturing the family, and killing the dad last. Because he had a really bad dad who would beat the shit out of him for literally anything. And so it made me lose my fucking mind, because it shows the kid's flashback. He's just, like, eating soup. He's like, hey, how you doing, son? Hey, you doing all right? He drops the spoon, like, ding, and the dad's like, oh, you always fucking do this shit, you little shit! Gets up, rips his fucking belt off, and starts beating the fucking son right then and there for dropping his spoon.
Does he take the soup and, like, pour it on his head?
No, he just takes his own belt off and just goes, bam, 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 and just starts beating the shit out of him. And I lost my fucking mind, because it was just a fucking spoon. And it snaps like that.
How you doing, sport?
How you doing, sports? You little shit, you're always fucking like this. And it starts beating the fuck out of him.
To be fair, who was going to clean that spoon? It wasn't going to be the child.
I died laughing, dude. It was so fucking funny. But that's why I put it in bad tier, because it goes so off the rails, but it's not trying to. It is just poorly conveying trauma and shit to the point where it's absurd, but not they don't mean it, like NCIS.
Speaking
does.
Of poorly conveying trauma, what about Law and Order SVU? That's got the doom doom thing where it like jumps to the court and stuff, and that's cool.
So this is Rapey the Rape Show. This is okay. So
20 seasons of hardcore rape on public television.
I'm gonna talk about some graphic things for those who don't want to hear about it. So Law and Order Special Victims Unit, and its whole thing is special victims are people of usually sexual based crimes, because those are especially heinous, as the intro says every time. You already know that.
Every time I hear it, I think of the angry video game nerd heinously anus. Which is not, like, a good thing to think about when it's a rape TV show.
So, not every single crime is a rape one, but, like, 9 out of 10 of them are. Because that's what it had
to
do with
the racist audience.
Like, I don't know how to describe the fucking show other than just, like, very uncomfortable to watch at work.
You're
in front of like six other
you're
people.
You're sitting there, back there. It's you and then your boss and that one old man trying to watch the news. And you're eating your soup. You're watching SVU and they're just showing hardcore rape. And you drop your spoon. You just see your manager start taking his belt off.
So like, there was this one episode in particular where like, there's like a dude, a girl, another dude holding this one family hostage. And then, like, the lady lead there goes to investigate and then gets held hostage herself, too. It's a hostage situation episode. And during they just have, like, a full-ass rape scene in the fucking show. It's off-screen, but you hear it, right? And I'm just like, and it's graphic. Like, you hear, like, all of it, right? And I'm just like, dude, there are, like, 10 other people around you right now. Do you have to show this right now at, like, 6 p.m.? It's one
it's
of those just, like,
time.
It's one of those just, like, this is a lot. Like,
I am trying to eat a sandwich.
Like, okay. You
I did
what?
Not order rape with my Subway sandwich, thank
Lindsay
you.
Lindsay Ellis, Linkara, you guys got a point, okay? You know what? Maybe sometimes it is a lot. Maybe sometimes it is just a lot. It's just a lot of those kinds of things where every single episode is, like, very hardcore and dramatic. They play it off in a really dumb way, and it always ends with the lady... This is gonna sound really weird. Justifying their actions. Does that make sense? She tries to explain why they were. Let me use that episode where it just straight up has the rape scene in it, right? With the hostage situation. After they break out and save it, and, you know, save the fucking day, she's like she looks at the file of the people, the perpetrators.
Wait,
and shit.
Hold on a second. I thought you meant justifies their actions in stopping this people, not going like, oh, well, the reason he rapes that he was raised in a family with two fathers or
No, they do that. It always ends with them explaining why these people turn into, like, rapists, and it's
Holy
very
shit.
Uncomfortable, where it's just like, well, as you see, these people have a really long history of being, like, beaten the shit as a kids, and just, you know, no wonder they turned out this way. I'm like, bro, what the fuck?
It's no wonder that this happened, like... Is it SVU? Is that the one that has, like, the cyber goth chick that does, or maybe that's NCIS.
No, that's NCIS. You can see it right there in the promo image. That's cyber goth lady.
Oh, okay. Cool. Oh, yeah, I see her there. She's hidden behind a mysterious black man and guy with bow tie. Now, what's Blue Bloods? This is the first I've heard of this one.
Okay, the Blue Bloods is, like, it's honestly just kind of boring. It's a crime genre where you take the view entirely of the cops... And fuck, what city?
In like the office?
No, they're still in the field, but it's usually like, it's all about almost the politics of being a police officer rather than the actual crimes and then solving them. Does that make sense? There will still be occasional like crimes and then solving it, but it's usually like, perfect example, because they were covering, you know, when the George Floyd riots happened, they had a lot of episodes about that in Blue Bloods.
Oh, no. I'm sure they handled it really well.
So they have, you know, not George Floyd. They have four Joyed, you know, get shot by a cop or whatever. And then, you know, there's a big riot, and it talks about how the cops are handling it. Now, the main guy is the dude with the mustache, and they just do the politics. They're just like, well, we can't just have police officers go around trying to do a peace with this peaceful protest. It's like peaceful protest. They're beating the shit out of random people and like knocking down stores. You call these people peaceful? It's one of those shows, you know. It's very clearly it's. You ever wanted to side with the cops? Yeah, I don't think you did.
Blue Bloods. The thin blue line.
It's the thin blue line show. So if you're not pro cop, you're not gonna like the show very much. And from my perspective, and I'm very politically neutral, but like it's also just not a very interesting show because the police politics are like, hey, you wanna justify the cops' actions for the George Floyd murder? Well, anyway, so there's Blue Bloods.
Yikes.
It's one of those shows, you know. It's not now, for Alex, me.
Now, below bad tier in this image is the Goldbergs tier. Tell me about the Goldbergs.
All right, Dad. I have to just go in hard on the Goldbergs. Have you ever
watched... You have to go in the heart of the Goldbergs, just like the Daily...
I... have no sympathy for the Goldbergs. I have I have seen two entire episodes of it, and I will make a massive assumption of the entire series, because I saw everything.
One episode of the Goldbergs, you're going to jump to immediately, all these writers are beat by their fathers. And if they weren't, they should have been.
So the Goldbergs is, have you seen a sitcom before, Ted, with a dynamic like nuclear family?
Yes.
Have you seen a shitty one?
Yes.
Have you seen a god-awful one? No, you haven't. You haven't seen Goldbergs. Now, there's a show that I watched on Cartoon Network. I saw the pilot of it. It was called Mighty Magiswords. It had zero pacing. It was just a nonstop diarrhea of noise and words. Nobody stopped to take a breath. Goldbergs is the Mighty Magiswords of sitcoms. It is just a constant stream of characters fucking talking and doing random fucking tropes and making fun of the fact they are doing tropes and then troping about the tropes they have made fun of. There is one episode that I saw where it was, the trope was the relationship between the like dude lead and like another family's like daughter are going to get engaged, but the ring gets mishandled and then a big confusion happens, you know, situational comedy. But the entire episode is the little fucking shit with the glasses, this little fucking Tizmo who I want to fucking strangle. He's the kind of kid that you just beat the shit out of. You take your fucking belt off because he dropped a spoon. You just start going fucking ape shit on him. I hated this character. So what happens is that he observes the family and does commentary over all of their actions to the audience as if he's some kind of fucking genius.
Like it's whole. Is this them trying to do the Malcolm in the Middle thing? Where Malcolm would do that?
It's like a shittier Malcolm. Yeah, it's just that, but worse. Yeah, it's a good example. It's just like, oh, and as you can see here, my brother gets mistaken because they think my sister had the ring, and you can see this whole thing's going funny. And then he's talking to like his girlfriend or whatever. She's like, shouldn't you like stop them? Nah, this is fucking hilarious. This is how these sitcoms and tropes work. They're like, this isn't a show. This is your family. Nah, everything will work out in the end. So anyway, now let's continue. And it's just so annoying. It is so awful. It's like, they have a joke. The characters keep talking. They don't pause. They don't breath. And it's just like, it's just like, hey, honey, did you do something? Oh man, I'm an old man who hates my wife and kids. And I just hate everything. And anyway, they just go so fast. They never stop for a fucking minute, dude. And then every single time they talk, fucking Poindexter has to come in and then comment to his fucking girlfriend character. It is awful. It is the worst sitcom I've ever fucking seen. It is somehow the most by-the-book, run-of-the-mill, boring-ass show, but also just told poorly. It's just so poorly paced. I was annoyed. It's like, okay, I'm going to use a food analogy because I'm a really, really smart gamer. Now, Ted, think of the worst potato chip of your life. What is it?
I actually mentioned this to someone a few days ago. There are potato chips that they serve exclusively in prison, and they actually made those. You can buy them at Dollar Tree, and I tried one of those, and it tasted like shit. So, prison chips.
Imagine prison chips, but it's the fucking sour cream and onion flavor of prison chips. That's the Goldbergs.
It's the sour, yeah, the fucking cheddar and sour cream. If you ever want me to vomit, Alex, just open up a bag of cheddar and sour cream chips and I will puke on the spot. I will puke in the bag because nothing in there will change. It will be just as fucking disgusting. If you're listening to this right now and you eat cheddar and sour cream, I need you to get the fuck out. I am taking off my fucking belt.
So anyway, those are all the shows that I've seen consistently at Walmart TV.
What an incredible series of programming that they have at 6 and 7 p.m. prime time. Do they? I get your options really are just news and then a 50-50 flip on if it's going to be rape or assault or if it's going to be the fucking Goldbergs.
Yep, pretty much. So I guess
that's a 33.33333/33.3333. Is that funny? Is that a funny joke, Alex?
Well, yeah, I mean,
and
I
then
mean,
you if, okay, you must not have heard it. Let me repeat the joke. Well, you didn't laugh. 33 point despite being only 33 point
Tando
the alt-right podcast, the Nazi podcast has infected my mind with the Nazi brainworms. Fuck, I don't even know what I had on here. I had something else I was gonna say, I don't even fucking remember.
Well, we have almost 2 hours. I think that's a good place to call it. What do you think?
I think this is a chunky episode. I think it's a fun one. It's a good one. It's high quality content. I will say to the audience right now, I am working on 3 hours of sleep. So I hope that my goofs and my gaffes and my funny bits came through just fine. Came through just as clear, just as concise as your voicemails for when we do the romantic advice podcast, me and Joe. Well, that's not going to be a podcast. Maybe. If it goes really well, maybe we'll do it as a sideshow. Because I've been wanting to do the No Stupid Questions again, but I wanted to kind of give it more of a theme that wouldn't require... The way that we have it now, people send us in these really cool questions, and it's like, I want to know the answer to this question for realsies, so I want to go out and do, like, research and shit. So, if this thing that me and Joe do, this voicemail, that's 413-6545-206... Wait... I just realized why that phone number feels so weird, Alex.
Why?
Because it's 343. Usually it's 334. That's why it felt so fucking weird to me. 3 hours of sleep. I'm a little slow on the upkeep. I'm a little slow here. Just in general, I'm a little bit slow. But yeah, that'll be fun. I'll put out a video when me and Joe are going to do that. And then I'll have more guidance for what you should leave as voicemails and stuff. What number to call. I think it'll be a different number to call when you want to actually come in. Those shirts I mentioned, we're going to get those up sometime soon. I'm going to have those on the represent.com store, which is in the description. You can find the show here, as usual, on YouTube, iTunes, Google Podcast, and Spotify. Malevolent Movies and The Man with No Brain, they're doing the trial of Joe Buckley. Those are getting schmoving. That's going to wrap up soon. You can go in there. You can see both arguments. And then the trial itself should be uploaded real soon. It was a lot of fun. I did it months ago at this point, but you don't know that. As far as you know, I'm going to record it tomorrow. There's a Discord in the description too, as well as a Patreon and all that cool, cool stuff. We are going to do another history episode very, very soon. And Joe and I also have some other plans for stuff that we want to do. White Boy Summer had a slow start. But it's been chugging along, much like a train, Alex. And you know what this train is running on?
What?
I don't know. I was really hoping that you would save me there. But you know what this is running on? This is running on hopes, and it's running on dreams, Alex. And I don't have a lot of dreams, because I only slept for 3 hours, and you just let me down with that hope there. So let's see where this train's going. This is the real trolley problem, Alex.
I was under recording.
I just gotta end it, yeah.
Good night, everybody.